It's a download here on WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock when Patty Vasquez will take over. Live from San Diego, California. Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. She's out there doing the Marine boot camp, which is her and Mark Carmen, Jackie and Sinead. Like, essentially, four or five people from WGN flew out there to do this Marine boot camp. They're going to talk about it tonight. So I'm training for the stair climb. If you heard this on the station, and when I say training, I went to the gym once, and then today I climbed up the Tribune Tower 34 flights. Yeah, no big deal. What you think of me now, WGN listener? So I'm going to do that stair climb that Dave Ennett and the WGN team is all about. I'll get the details on that, but it's on Sunday. I'm going to do, but you could do like, it's at Presidential Towers, so you can do like all four towers. You can do just one, and I'm doing one, and then I'm going to sneak out. While everyone's taking the group picture, I'll get the group picture in, and I'm just going to sneak out. Because the worst thing that can happen is if you get like too ambitious, and you're like, well, I'm going to do the second tower, and then you throw up. Right? That would be the worst thing. Like, you know, I don't want to, that's the whole goal. The goal is no throw up. I don't care about, you know, the burn in the legs. I don't care about, like, I can't breathe. I just don't want to be that one guy who's like, oh God. I can't be that guy, right? So that's coming up. I'm going to do that Sunday. All right, well, you know what I should do on Friday, but we're working. So if you're not, you should go see the interview show with Mark Baser, the 8th anniversary of the interview show. It's at the Hideout, 1354 West Wabanzia. Mark, who is a regular here on the show, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you. Thanks for having me.
8th anniversary.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
We're just going to play your show, though. We're going to put up a boombox on the stage.
It's not that entertaining.
I don't know.
You really need to get the chair in the couch.
Yeah, but that stair thing. Like, is that even good? It's not good. Is it good for you as exercise?
It doesn't feel like it's good, but
it's bad on the. It's got to be obviously bad on the knees.
Yeah.
So what? Like, in the end, it might do more harm to a person than
it probably.
Positive.
But I don't. I think that by the idea of it just being a stressful thing for an hour, as opposed to like going up and down, it's called Fight for Air. So it's really for firefighters in the American Lung Association. So firefighters climb this thing with their gear on. Like, they put this stuff on their back, and they're like, this show you how we go up and down stairs and we do this to be in shape. And, you know, but for me, I mean, yeah, you're right. I don't understand how it's good, but it felt good.
Will you have, like, your fanny pack or something like that?
I might go fanny pack. Yeah. I haven't decided if I go half shirt. I was thinking half shirt, like Miller Lite half shirt kind of thing, where you just do it where you show the belly. And a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Could be good. Got to get, like, those runner shorts that guys wear where you could pretty much see their butt, you know, their bare butt. You know what I'm talking about?
I actually, my dad has those and and he left one behind. They stayed over at our house and he left them behind. And I play basketball actually here at the Tribune. And I thought, I didn't really think anything of the shorts and all my other shorts were dirty. I hadn't washed them. So I said, I'll just wear these. And everybody, I mean, I don't think everybody was talking about it, like, and making fun of me.
But they're like neon or what?
They're
like,
black, but yeah. It was just, I mean.
Like, too much. They're like flaps. They're like mud flaps on a semi.
It was, and then when you're playing basketball, like, you know, man. it's just.
It's too much butt. It's too much butt.
It was a lot of butt. I don't know.
How was your dad?
My dad is pretty good. He's at the stage of life where he writes letters to newspapers and calls me to read me the letters.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
And sometimes they get in.
I met a guy who told me, and I realized he's like, I'm a published author. And I was like, oh, wow. He's like, I'm read by millions of people every time I publish something. I'm like, all right, where's this going? And I realized after the next thing he said that he was a letter writer to a newspaper. And
you know, then, once in a while you'll Google yourself. You shouldn't probably do it, but and there's a guy with my name. There's only one other guy with my name that I can tell in the world, and all he does is write letters to small papers in Florida. And I because nobody would ever think it was me except for me, and it drives me nuts. I'm like, do people think that this guy that I'm writing letters to small papers in Florida?
Here's what you should do. You should write the letter to the same paper as Mark Baser, but it's a counter to Mark Baser. I mean, it's a perfect bit.
I vehemently disagree with Mark
Baser.
Yeah,
right.
Mark Baser is an idiot.
You keep publishing Mark Baser, right.
Do you know my name? Did I ever tell you this? My name, I have the most, and this guy as well, because we have the same name, the most violent name in the history of names, because in Yiddish, Baser means angry person.
Oh.
And Mark is the god of war, Mars, named after Mars.
It suits
so
you. I think
together,
it suits you. Yeah.
Together. And when I got married, when I first started dating my wife, Gina, her grandmother, who knows Yiddish, got really frightened. She was like, don't marry this. She's Russian. Don't marry this man. I'm like, why? He's a Beza.
He's a like, Beza.
What? Yeah,
he's an
Mark. Angry person.
Right.
And
she's that literal with the like translation of last
old,
names?
Old,
I think Kaufman is like a steelsmith or a blacksmith.
But that is obvious that you no longer have that profession.
Right.
Baser is something that would be passed down from one angry man to the next angry man through centuries. I mean, she's also of the generation that believes that anything can be healed with cabbage.
Right.
So
that generation, of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
What's wrong with you? You got a headache? Just rub some cabbage on your forehead.
So, Mark, you got your 8th anniversary of the show.
Yeah, I'm excited
coming up.
For it.
That's exciting because, I mean, I've been in the show. We've been around that hideout space for a long time. I think 8 years of doing it. I mean, what's evolved over the years when you think about going back and looking at the first couple times you were on stage? What and you think about the last one you did? What do you feel you've improved upon?
Yeah, I think I did improve, and then it started to go back down, kind of like a bell curve kind of thing. I hope it starts up again. Much more comfortable on stage.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember, but you used to tell me because I'd get up there and I would do my intro bit and I'd have a music stand and I'd be kind of reading my bit. And one time you pulled me aside and you said, Mark, not while I was on stage, but later. And he said, you can't read this stuff.
Yeah.
And that should have been obvious to me, but
so you
wasn't.
Were going up there, you would have your monologue that you would read or what you would, and you would have like a script essentially, and you'd be reading off a script in a live stage show, which was a little bit confusing because you're like, I don't understand. Like, so, but that was because you weren't necessarily a stage performer, but you grew into it.
Yeah. And now, I mean, now I'm one of the great stage performers.
You are. Yes.
So.
No, but I mean, that's something you see all the time because it's just like, almost like a combination of live lit. When you go see a live lit show where someone's a writer and they've got their – and they come up there and they get their piece and they just feel comfortable in just reading a script. And I find that to be just like nails on a chalkboard.
Yeah.
Like you're on stage and entertained. Like you spend some time – spend 2 or 3 days memorizing it.
Yeah, some of us don't have that time, Justin. Some of us just don't have.
Well, you do now.
No, I do. But you're right. And now I haven't. It's been 6 years since I would read an intro bit. Although I did do a reading the other night. And
did you read it?
I just read it.
You punks, man. You're just all you live lit punks.
Well, I wasn't getting paid.
you'll memorize it if you're getting paid?
Yeah.
If Claire Zolke
and
gave
even
you
like
25
bucks. Yeah, 25 right. bucks. That's all it would take.
All right, let's take a break. We come back. I want to talk about the show you got coming up. But I also want to talk about The Hideout, because The Hideout, we were just talking about this, I think with the Right Club guys or with one of the groups, that The Hideout really dominated and created a new kind of show with the 6 o'clock and the 6:30 p.m. kind of show they do in the club. It used to be because they would do it, you know, before the band was up at 9, so they're like, Mark, you can have your show at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, that's the worst time ever, which has turned out to be the best time ever. We'll talk with Mark Baser.
Little did they know.
Little did they know. So we'll talk about the explosion of shows like Mark's and others at The Hideout when we come back here. The interview show is at The Hideout, 1354 West Wabanzia on Friday night, the 8th anniversary show.
Is it Wabanzia or Wabanzia?
What did I say, Wabanzia?
Yeah, you said it very... very fancy.
Well, I'm kind of fancy.
Yeah,
you know, like that's what they know me here.
Wabanzia.
You know, if you were doing like the midday or maybe in the morning, they would say Wabanzia.
Yeah,
here, but here at WGN, I'm a little bit more refined. I come from the Milt Rosenberg school of broadcasting.
I do remember when he used to talk
Wabanzia.
About
Wabanzia.
Yeah, he did a whole show on Wabanzia.
Wabanzia. My guest tonight, Mark Baser. The interview show Friday night, 6:30 p.m., the 8th anniversary of the interview show. Who are your guests this week?
I have the former governor, Pat Quinn. I've got Toronzo Cannon, who is a blues musician. Yep. Do you have him on Chicago Way?
No, I haven't, but Tim bent my ear last time I saw him at the Hideout about this. He's a great, he's a truck driver, he's a CTA bus driver, he's amazing.
That's a good invitation.
Man. You know, blues in the city, no one pays attention to blues.
That's really good.
If I and no, I like Tim, but I'm like, if I talk for 45 minutes, that would be a good Tim impression.
That's, we have this, big part of it. This pastry chef, maybe you've heard of her, Mindy Siegel.
Right.
On the show. And then we have Hebrew Brantley.
You do?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, so tell him we said hi.
I absolutely will.
He's great.
Just
he's,
tell him GN.
Just
GN
tell
said
him.
Hi.
Tell him Justin and Pete.
Okay.
You know, no, he's wonderful, man. He was a really good interview.
He's been
we had
on
him
before.
On. It's super funny because when we had him on, someone complained, like there was like a comment, and they said, just now, they were mad at me and the format of the show. And they said, just now, it was Kaufman just had a sculptor on for an hour. That's what they said. He's a sculptor on for an hour. Like, he's a little bit more than a sculptor.
He was talking, right? He wasn't a sculptor while he was on the
air. It was just like, they were trying to make a point that I was
audio,
like super
the
boring.
Sound of the maneuvering of clay.
I'm like, if you think of sculptors, I'm like, I guess he's a sculptor.
I don't know. You can't let
the haters win.
The sculptor critics.
Right. So that's great. That's a great lineup, man.
Wait, 8th anniversary.
Let me ask you, when you think about that show specifically, when you think about Hebrew Brantley, Mindy Siegel, obviously Governor Pat Quinn. I mean, when you think, do you try to go with a through line with the guests? Do you try to make each one specific for almost like it's its own thing? Or, I mean, how do you kind of work it when you have such big talent on one show like that?
Yeah, totally. They're their own thing. I don't know if you do this too. I always have a narrative in my head of how I think an interview could go. And then I kind of hope that it doesn't go that way, that the guest takes me somewhere else, but that I'm not going to, if the guest either doesn't talk and is just sculpting the whole time, that I can have that narrative to fall back on and take it where I think it can go.
Earlier in the week, you're at Monday, right? So what are you thinking about for Governor Quinn?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess what interests me more than, I will ask him policy questions. I'll ask him about what's going on now. I'll certainly ask him about Rahner. I'll ask him about the election. But I also, I don't know, I'm kind of interested in what it feels like to be a politician. It seems like one of the things that is appealing about Governor Quinn, whether you liked him or absolutely hated him, was that there was a genuineness to him. He didn't, when you think of other politicians, people from both parties, and you think, I don't know if that person necessarily believes that, or I don't know if that person really cares. Mm-hmm. And I don't think most people question that about
Quinn. He's considered like he wears his heart on his sleeve kind of thing.
Yeah, and so that to me seems like that's a real person, and which is often alien to the world of politics,
right,
where you're often not betraying what you really feel. And sometimes that hurt him.
Let me give you two things that I think you should ask him about. One, early on in his career, he did either a State of the State or a budget address where he was off script. And he was just every third, he was like, I forgot what it was, but I remember there was like a lot, like you need to, like it was meandering. It was like 45 minutes of him trying to wing it,
okay,
which did not work.
Yeah.
And the second is hand mowing his lawn in that commercial where I'm just a regular guy. And he's got the hand mower like out in front. And he's like, I'm just mowing my lawn like everybody does in their bungalow thing. And I was like, nobody has a mower like that.
I got to tell you though, I have two mowers.
You have a mower like that?
I have a hand mower. I have a regular mower too, but there are some times when I just, for whatever reason, I just feel like I want to get back to the land.
You want to get, yeah, right.
And I want to just, I don't want the fumes coming up at me. Or it's like, you know, I got kids, so you wake up and the kids wake you up at 6 a.m.
You don't want to be,
you don't want to be with them. You'd rather be with the lawn, but you also can't wake up the people around you. So that's when the hand mower comes in.
Also, I would say right towards the end of like the last week, he had a commercial where he was playing basketball. Do you remember this one? He's like, sometimes I miss. Dong! And he misses. He's like, hey, but what can you do? I mean, we're human.
Who got a lot of credit from that lately? Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders was playing basketball with his grandkids, and everybody loved it.
Yeah, I
know. Obama gets a lot of play.
But nobody thinks, oh, Pat Quinn, man, let's go out to the hoops.
But you don't think Bernie. You don't think Bernie Sanders,
yeah, and
right?
Of course, and that hurts.
And
you shouldn't be doing that.
He's incredible.
He's like, I don't want to watch the guys who play basketball who hit the square. Like,
would
that's
you
what
watch,
they're pointing
would you,
to.
They should do the Republican candidates. There's not that many Democratic candidates. But bring O'Malley back. Bring Bloomberg in.
Right.
And just have a basketball game. That'd be a fun game to watch.
Like before an All-Star game?
Yeah.
You know, like they do the kids game, and then they do like the alumni game. Now they do the politicians running for president's game.
Yeah. I once saw a hockey game that was just mascots of food brands, like the Starkist tuna and stuff. Yeah. And it was hilarious. And I think it could be equally as good to do this suggestion that I just came up with.
I think Battle of the Network Stars style presidential campaigns would be good.
There you go.
All right. So what do you think? I mean, as you get ready here, we kind of teased out the fact that, you know, the 6:30 shows have exploded at the Hideout. You and I were at the Hideout not too long ago, and they're like, there's a Saturday show at 11.
I know. And
they have taken every single time that you wouldn't think that there'd be a live performance, put it there, and succeeded.
I think one thing that is that people want, in an age of obviously so much information online and so many things, so much content, I hate that word, but that's what people call it, that people do crave a live experience. I think also that the Hideout, while it still has a youthful scene, it kind of came up, like it's 20th anniversary this year, so people are older, and I mean, I'll just be honest, like I don't want to do a show at 10 o'clock at night.
Right.
I'd want at 10 o'clock at night, I want to be thinking about how I was at a show 4 hours earlier.
Right. That's essentially all of us now.
Yeah.
That's me too. I'm like, oh man, what a great,
I can't even climb the one flight of stairs at my house, let alone whatever tower you're climbing.
34
flare. I get home after the show, it's 9 o'clock, and I just reflect on how it went a little too late.
It was just a
and
little
And I just too collapse on my couch.
It's a far cry from when we were doing comedy shows at 10, 11, 10, midnight,
yeah.
Right? That's it.
But I will say this about the Hideout and those shows, and you did the nice imitation of Tim. But one of the things that makes the Hideout great is that Tim Tutton is the most generous person in the world. So and I think it came out of that. He was saying to himself, or he said to anybody who would listen, okay, I got these bands, but I want to get these guys on too. I got to get these guys on. They're doing great stuff. And I know they can't get rid of the bands, so let's just put them in there. It was all about, like, anything is possible. I want these things need to happen.
And that's
the best thing you want.
When you started the show and Claire started her show, I mean, there was nobody. I mean, it was sort of like a Friday night at 6 o'clock, and there was nothing else really going on. Now it seems like every single night of the week that is booked.
Yeah, it used to be. I used to say, hey, I can't do it this Friday. Is there any way I can switch? Like, yeah, absolutely. And now it's
you got to
no
book
chance.
Out like a
no
month,
chance.
3 months in advance.
Yeah.
Mark Baser, the show, the interview show, is on stage at the Hideout on Wabanzia. 1354 West Wabanzia. It is 6:30, but I would arrive early because there have been many a time where I've showed up and then got really mad at the bar that they wouldn't let me in.
You?
Let me take that back. I tell you that I got mad, but I actually got excited because then
didn't
I was
have
like,
to go.
No, I didn't have to go. I went home and I'm like, that was the best show ever.
I'm just going to go to Epic Burger.
Right. I just did a 10-minute night out. That was great.
And I can tell Mark I went.
Yeah, right. Tried to go, bud. Sorry.
That's sweet. That's sweet.
So if you want to see the show, get there a little early. If you're a friend of Mark like me and you just want to support him, go late because it'll be sold out and then you can just say you were late. Right?
As long as you pay.
Well, you don't pay.
Oh, you don't.
No, because it's sold out. You just go, oh, man, so sorry. I text you.
It's $5 if it's sold out.
That's what you should do.
Yeah.
For showing up, there's like a toll.
Yeah.
It should be $10.
It's $10 to get in, by the way. $5 if you get there late and you can't get in.
Right.
Yeah.
Mark, good to see you, buddy.
Thanks for having me.